You're listening to EFT Tapping Hub Radio online, where we answer your tapping questions and share many tapping insights with you. By listening to this audio, you agree to the disclaimer at efthub.com/disclaimer. Subscribe to our newsletter or download our audio from our store at efthub.com.
Hello again, this is Gary back with you looking at tapping and also looking at many other areas of interest. And I've already been chatting to Sam Thorpe today. Hello, Sam.
Hi, Gary.
We've had a good conversation about many things, haven't we, before we've even got to do this recording as such. And you've got quite a history, haven't you, going back into tapping and various...
I've been working with tapping and matrix probably mostly, but I'm very grateful to Carl, who started my journey into meta health and meta medicine and into heart math. And what I'm finding now is that those two things are probably forming the foundation of most of what I do, especially the heart math in terms of the therapy work that I do. So I've been doing some really exciting things with that this last year. Very exciting.
Yeah, and it'd be great to spend some time with you also to go in to those different areas, because I know they're quite popular, aren't they, with people, and especially people that are doing tapping, because you can combine all of this, can't you, together?
That's right. What I'm noticing is that in doing the work with the tapping, one of the greatest gifts of that, of course, is that once taught, people can own it and use it for themselves. And that's really important to me. So when we're going into different areas, so I'm working in Indonesia at the moment, and I've been out to Bosnia with Caroline Rowling. It's really important that we teach them skills that once we've left, they can carry on with. And of course, EFT is great for that. But so is heart math. So what we were finding was that in order to really instill the skills in people, teaching them about stress and trauma first was really important, so that people who've had experiences of severe trauma or who are having experiences of ongoing stress understand why their bodies are doing what they're doing, what's actually happening to them, why they're having the emotional turmoil that they're having. And therefore, when you then teach them the skills, they understand what's going on. They know what their body's doing and why their thoughts are changing. And actually, they're owning it more and more readily using it on a day-to-day basis because they get how it's affecting them and why.
I mean, that's a video in itself, isn't it, that we could create at some point. It would be very interesting. And we were talking about my own situation, weren't we, earlier on as well. So I found that very useful. Yeah. So maybe we can get into that at some point. But you are moving into other areas as well, aren't you?
At the moment, I'm working on a new technique called heart-focused healing, and we're settling on that name largely because it's built upon the science and understanding and the technique of heart-focused breathing from heart math. And we're finding that by teaching heart-focused breathing first, so that someone is totally present and they're in coherence in their body, so their body and mind are balanced, when we move into the actual change work, then we're getting a greater, a deeper and a more systemic change. So I'm really looking at the science behind all of the different aspects of what we do and how that learning is enabling for a greater change.
What have you experienced so far, you know, through using that process?
Well, I started, part of the reason it came about was that there were some bits I particularly found useful from the techniques that I used, and then there were some gaps where people struggled. So, for example, with some techniques where you have to go back into a memory, sometimes people didn't have one. But if we work on the assumption or the presupposition that there is a part of that person that has split off and it is actually holding that trauma, then I started to experiment with how do we just get that part to step out in front. And it seemed to be really powerful. So I just started to do it with people that initially I was struggling with getting them back to a memory. And it seemed to be either that the memory then created itself around that part that was stepped out, or other things happened. And so because I used it with one or two people who were also practitioners, they naturally, because it's very simple, went away and started to use it with their clients and then came back and said, please teach us more about this. We want to use it more. We're getting incredible results. So then I had to start thinking, okay, what do I do now? And look at, obviously with the background in teaching, it's not a big step for me to start thinking, how could I structure this in some sort of proper official training? So I had six very close colleagues, people that I really sort of trusted and enjoyed working with, together for 2 days of kind of training, using it, thrashing out any possibilities of confusion, where it might go off at a tangent. And basically, we experimented for 2 days with it. And then it gave me more of a structure to start planning it. So some of the changes for people have been very deep, very systemic. So they get an understanding of a particular event, but they're getting a more global change, which is quite interesting.
Well, you say it's simple, though. Some people find that hard to believe, don't they? You know, because, like, say, even with tapping, we know that the process of tapping is simple, isn't it? But also we need to investigate more, don't we, with tapping, say, you know, looking at core issues and that kind of journey. But you're saying this is more simple in some ways, or is it just more complicated to understand at first, or how would you put it?
I think it's the process is very simple, but when you understand why the process is the way it is, then each bit in place is very important. So we actually start with the heart-focused breathing. And the reason that's so important is that what I'm finding through the research is that we get greater shift if the body is primed and ready for it. So quite often when we're working in EFT, people haven't spent the time to actually be fully present first and to actually come out of stress first. So that as soon as they start tapping on an issue, especially with the standard EFT, where you're bringing that into the system a bit at a time, the body is experiencing stress. Whereas if you can go into coherence, so your heart is the largest and the most powerful governing electromagnetic field of the body. So if you can take the heart into coherence and you can allow the heart to go from a chaotic pattern into a coherent pattern, a gentle sine wave, then actually your autonomic nervous system is actually working properly in sync. And when that's working in sync, we come out of fight flight, so we're not in the hindbrain anymore. We get full cortical facilitation and the brain balances. So it's a bit like priming the pump before you do any work. So rather than kind of launching into a technique, so you could do this before EFT. And in fact, you know, Sylvia Hartman talks a lot about de-stressing before you go in to do any work. It's really the basis of that. So what we're doing is we're going into coherence first. We're allowing the heart to send new information to the brain, which then in turn actually kind of resets the autonomic nervous system and the whole of the body to be fully present and really ready for change. So this gets over any of those issues around secondary gain and reversals, because if the body is sending new messages, then we know that it's okay to let go of what we need to let go of. It's only when we're not in a position to let go of something that we need to hold on to it for safety reasons or for issues, you know, or complicated secondary gain issues. Whereas if you spend some time first dealing with the autonomic nervous system, the heart and the brain and the body, you then actually are in a position to let go of something because it's okay and safe to let it go.
Right. So you're saying the important thing is that setting up, if you like, at the beginning there, yeah? And that makes a difference in the results, though.
It's making an enormous difference. So we're kind of, like I say, priming the system. We're creating a different response in the body. And then when we go into the issue, we're actually working with it in a different way. So that's kind of, I would say, the most foundational, that's kind of the cornerstone of the technique, is being in coherence when we do the work. And then really some of the other principles are based on the learning that I've had from various masters that I've worked with and how I've noticed that in my own work. So it's my own experience. And I truly believe that, you know, in terms of energy, there is no good or bad energy. There is just energy. And largely you could say that love is the most, you know, is the energy. But then we get into our other painful problems by either having a fear of loss or lack of that energy. And really, so there's only love or an absence of love, or love and a fear of absence of love. So if you take love as the universal energy, then what we do in this technique is we just use love and we use that energy as the healing process. So we're just sending love to that part of us that has had the trauma. The second part to that is that something that Sylvia Hartman said really stuck with me, which was that when she got sent people that other people had done work with but weren't getting to the root of the trauma, weren't healing the trauma, and so they kind of said, okay, go to her, you know, she'll fix it. She's the person who's written the book and she knows what she's doing. So she was like the last-ditch attempt to help people with their problem. And she said that in every single case, there was an instance for the person before the traumatic experience, so before the event, where the person had an intuition, a gut feeling, where but they either didn't or couldn't follow that intuition. And when I reflected on my own traumatic experiences, I realized that for me, that was the trauma. The trauma was that point either of disconnection from the self or disconnection from something else that caused that isolation. And in fact, the trauma is kind of subjective to my position in that. So what we do in this technique is we actually don't go into the trauma, which is what makes it successful and how we were able to use it in Bosnia, was we're not going into the trauma. We're just sending love to the part that had the experience, but we're focusing on reconnecting them to that universal energy, and we look for the right language for the person so that as we reconnect them, they then get a meaning to that event and experience and a learning whereby which they can develop a new and positive belief. And that comes really from my understanding from Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, who after, you know, many, many years in concentration camps and all of the suffering experiences that he had, he realized that it was a lack of meaning that made some people give up, whereas those that were able to continue were able to give meaning to what was going on. And that gave them a new perspective, which meant that they could build resilience. So what we're doing is we're looking at how we can turn a trauma into something that gives you the learning and helps you to build resilience and take that learning forward so that actually you build a stronger capacity for coping with stress next time.
Mm. And before you started to talk about World War II, my head was doing the trip on that, because I seem to recall certain situations where people reported being separated from themselves, if you like, yeah, and prevented them from actually experiencing the pain of what was going on around them, if you like. I don't know where that fits in, but
it's a very powerful coping mechanism to actually come out of the problem. And as a mental health master trainer and coach, we have ways at which we can understand the different ways in which people have coped psychologically with issues. And one of the ways in which some people cope is to actually come out of that. So it is a response to trauma, but obviously people deal with them very differently and very individually. So that kind of isolation in trauma, that disconnection and isolation, is quite key to being able to continue to function. And if we've isolated a part of ourselves that's holding that trauma, as we were saying about the polar bear earlier, unlike animals in the wild, we don't release trauma. We don't actually let go of that part that is holding that traumatic experience and that energy. So we continue to reference it as our point of reference rather than evolving that energy into some learning for us to cope next time. So what is happening, interestingly, when we do this very simple process, so really all we're doing is we're going into coherence and we're going into balancing the body and the heart and the brain. And when the heart is in that sine wave, that coherent sine wave, we actually then just open up our own connection to make sure that we're stronger and more connected. And then we invite the part that's holding all of that trauma to whatever it is we've analyzed and we decide we're working on. And we invite that part, or parts, it can be plural, to step out in front. And then we just make a connection to send love to them. But what seems to happen, even in that first step, so that's all we've done, right? We've just said, ask that part to step out. And this happened in Bosnia, and this has happened since we've been home with clients. The process of being in coherence, allowing the body to let go, so finally coming out of stress and then asking that part to step out, has started the freeze-release response mechanism. So people are just asking that part to step out with all of the trauma that it's holding, and they're going into this freeze release where their body is finally, for the first time, in a relaxed state that they can actually let it go. So even before we've sent love, and then we've got a learning, and then we've brought it back, people are going into this freeze release. They're actually, for the first time, allowing this energy to release from the body. The next step is then to send love to that part and actually help to heal that part and release and evolve that energy. Then allow the learning. And then some people are getting a freeze release when they take that part back in. So they're reintegrating that part of them that got separated off. And when they reintegrate that energy and they really take that learning back into their system, they're getting a freeze release at that point. So everybody seems to get a shift of sorts, different at different parts of the process. And we're not making it any more complicated than understanding and trusting how the body and the mind are working together, and how we need to be in a state of complete stress-free in order to properly release the trauma.
Yeah, actually, we're talking about the shaking, and we had a conversation earlier on, didn't we, about the event I went through, and I was shaking like, all, you know, like Elvis Presley on the table, wasn't I? And you know, nearly came off. But I went with that shaking, didn't I, rather than against it.
That's right. And that's what's given you the capacity to build resilience, and not just the psychology of that, the understanding of what was happening at the time, and therefore your ability to psychologically cope, but your body's ability to release that and not therefore create a disease process. Because if we've embodied the situation and we didn't have a resolution to it, the body then starts to adapt in order to cope with that. So even if we're perceiving the danger next time, and we're perceiving something's going to happen, the body is still going to make an adaptation. It's still going to help us cope. So it's fundamentally, it's absolutely vital to be able to release the freeze, because we need to evolve that energy and release. If you imagine a bit like a computer, we can't visualize, it's really hard to conceptualize how on a small memory chip all the information has been stored. But if you can imagine the body's doing the same thing. So as we experience anything, but in particular a trauma, which is what we're talking about, that gets encoded into our energy. And therefore it becomes referenceable when I have a similar situation. So this is how I need to behave, and this is what my body or my mind need to do to cope. So if that's stuck in that information, then I need to somehow move that energy, release that energy. And in doing so, the encoded information is then released. And then if I release that in a safe environment, and when my body's ready to release it, all of the learning and all of the experience that was encoded in it gets released as well. So then I get the cognitive shift as well as the body release. So I'm getting all the learning and the information that comes out of, oh, it's to do with that. Oh, I remember the memory now that I'd forgotten about. So we're getting these massive cognitive shifts purely by sending love to a part of ourselves that actually has been holding that trauma. So we're in appreciation, we're in positive, high vibration emotions. So we're effectively raising the vibration of a part of us that's holding this information, so that that information gets released, and then we get all the learning with it too.
Well, Sam, thank you for, you know, making that quite clear about the process there. I mean, really what would be fantastic would be to actually go through a process itself, yeah, wouldn't it, and show people how that works. And that would be quite a long video to put together and the rest of that. So well, we will do that in the future, so people can actually see that in action, if you like.
Yeah, that would be great.
But obviously, you know, time factor and everything else at the moment, we're up against that in a sense. Yeah. But are there any final thoughts you can give us now to give us a greater understanding of what people would experience, if you like, if they come along and, say, have a treatment of that kind?
If I could give anybody any advice who are working with any kind of energy therapy, I think it would be to really be in touch with the body and in touch with how we can prime the system first. So the more you can actually relax the body, the more you can tell the body that you are ready to let go of this. So the more you can come out of stress, the more powerful the change you'll get. So what we did in Bosnia is we taught people the heart-focused breathing first, which is really literally to breathe in and out directly of the heart. And this allows the heart to then calm and to go into coherence. So we're just breathing in for a count of five and out for a count of five. And then we taught them heart-focused tapping. So we just subtly changed the process by staying with the same routine, but we were actually doing heart-focused breathing at each tapping point, in at least for two or three breaths. So we're really slowing it down. There's no point in speeding it up. What you need to do is you need to actually slow the body down so that the body goes into coherence, and then it will let go a much deeper systemic change than anything that you're kind of dancing around on the surface because you're still in stress. So really take the body out of stress for a deeper change.
Right. I'm sure people will want to contact you to find out, you know, more about this, because it sounds a fascinating area of work. How would they do that, Sam?
So they can go to the website, which is intoalignment.com, and my email is sam@intoalignment.com. So I am setting up a new website specifically for heart-focused healing, where people will be able to go along, and we're looking at creating a free webinar to introduce it to people and start to just to get awareness out there, in order that people can come to trainings in the new year.
Right, and as I said, we'll make a video, you know, giving more details and more in-depth look at it. May even turn into a couple of videos yet, who knows, you know. Or we'll put that inside the members area of the website and everything. So
the process itself can be done on yourself as well, which is really powerful.
Right,
but
in
itself, it takes some time to focus on what you want to work on, so you still need to get specific. But then when you're working on the process, it can take about half an hour, and you can create quite a systemic change. So we're staying out of the story after that, and that's what gives you the greater change.
Right.
We're trusting the subconscious mind knows all of that network of connections to where this is kind of embodied into the whole subconscious mind, if you like, into the field. So we can get quite deep change in half an hour in the actual process, but of course then there's a good, you need to follow up as well. So
right.
That's good.
Well, I look forward to learning more about it, and thank you for being there, really, and doing all this work, and the many other areas, of course, as well, that we discussed, that you're involved in, and that we need to get down on video as well, so others can share your insights. And
thanks for the opportunity. I mean, it's really great that you're bringing things together, that you can actually put all of that information out
there. Yeah, and it would be good to come back and do some more, yeah?
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks.
All right, Sam.